So thank you for that. And as you mentioned, we do focus our efforts on the Arab states. And to give you an idea of what it looks like from our perspective, the Arab states account for 5% of the global population and 32% of the global population of refugees. Lebanon and Jordan host the largest number of refugees when compared to the size of their population. According to the UNHCR, Lebanon hosts the largest number of refugees per capita at a rate of 1 in 6, and Jordan not far behind at a rate of 1 in 14. And just so you know, these rates do not include the Palestinian refugees residing in either country. This situation has placed a significant strain on an already strained national economy for these host countries. Although governments have made notable efforts to ensure young refugees have access to education, the reality is that the context is difficult and the challenge is daunting. And what that means is we all need to help. And that's why the Abdulaziz Al Hurair Refugee Education Fund was established, to respond to this need to help youth access education at the secondary, vocational, and tertiary levels in Jordan and Lebanon. Our focus is very practical in nature. We have a vision to promoting better livelihood opportunities through education. We recognize that there is a need for funding refugee education at all levels, but when we did our initial research, we examined the numbers on the ground, we held stakeholder consultation groups, and what we found was there was a real funding gap at secondary level onward. So we decided to focus our efforts there. The reality is a very small percentage of Syrian refugees aged 15 and above are enrolled in secondary education, 1.4% in Lebanon and 4.8% in Jordan. Now, we've been listening to millions of dollars and we've been listening to percentages, but I want to give you a sense of what that really means. There is roughly 200 people in this room. If we were all refugees in Lebanon, what that would look like is three of us making it to secondary. That is stark. When we look at vocational education, it's 1.6%. When we look at universities and tertiary education, it's 5% in both countries. But here's the thing, 5% at tertiary level will go down unless we can help that secondary level, because you can't access tertiary without having secondary qualifications. So that pipeline is collapsing. That's why our focus for our fund is filling the gap beyond primary. And we've learned four core lessons in the last couple of years that I'd like to share with you. So the first is to be impact-driven. It's critical to understand the value of an educational intervention before pursuing it through the design phase and the implementation phase, ensuring that it's going to lead to livelihood opportunities. The second is to know the local context. Take the time to connect with the local realities. It allowed us to respond to the needs on the ground that can change, and so we could respond quickly. For example, when we engage with our local partners, it helped us to identify specialized certificates, such as physiotherapy, teaching, and nutrition, that were in high demand and aligned with the labor market needs. So our graduates with these certificates accessed livelihood opportunities immediately and became self-reliant. And not only self-reliant, but self-reliant without jeopardizing the livelihood of host community youth. When that happens, you create social cohesion because they're desired elements and they're not competing for resources. The third one was that solutions need creativity. There are real barriers that need to be faced. When we design solutions with our partners and refugees, we need to think outside the normal practices to ensure future work is accessible to refugees. When we did this, we found work for coders, software developers, and data analysts remotely. And this way, they could successfully navigate the barriers to work in their context. We needed to just work with their realities. And finally, and I think this is maybe one of the most important ones and reflective of what we just heard from the three women to my right, authentic engagement is needed from everyone. A collaborative, multi-stakeholder approach that engages all partners yields sustainable solutions. In 2 years, we reached 17,000 refugees through 10 grants given to local and international organizations. Our greatest successes grew out of collaborative, multi-stakeholder approaches. We engaged donors, governments, regional philanthropists, foundations, private sector, and of course our beneficiaries in the whole process, from design to implementation to impact studies to review. It has to be the whole process. Everybody needs a voice. And although funding is important, the reality is funding won't solve everything. Authentic engagement and commitment from all stakeholders allows for creative solutions. Creative solutions, for example, like new models of financing, of blended financing, Sharia-compliant loans, different models that deal with the barriers at the local level. Why didn't you keep it short?